dear listener, and welcome to the Gestalten Podcast. And as you probably hear this now, we are back from our summer break. We had a lovely time, did a little bit of holiday, but it's good to be back. My name is Martin, and in this episode of the Gestalten Podcast, I am welcoming Jelle Trevis, who is working for Hyundai here in Germany as a brand design manager, and he's working a lot on areas such as brand design in general, how it communicates with the design department, but of course based on strategy, marketing is very heavily involved, so he can give us a very, very interesting kind of insight on how all these things come together to, in the end, understand what a brand is all about. And we didn't just talk a little bit about cars, we talked about some few other things as well, but I hope you enjoy this episode of the Gestalten Podcast, and once again, we're happy to be back after the summer break, and let's go. Jelle, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time, and a warm welcome from Munich to, I think you are in the Frankfurt area, if I'm not mistaken at the moment.
Yes, Martin, thanks for having me. I'm definitely in the Frankfurt area at the moment, and a pleasure to be on the Gestalten Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. And we want to talk about a topic which I think is, in terms of transportation design as a whole, quite underrated, which was the idea of brand design and branding. And obviously you're working with Hyundai at the moment in their Rüsselsheim studio and in the area of branding, but we don't want to talk too much about Hyundai in particular at the moment. What we want to talk about a little bit more is about the general idea of branding and of course how it shapes certain kind of decisions that come after, and and just to kind of see how important it is in the entire context. So because you have a very interesting kind of background, and I want to go into a bit more detail on this one. So if you can give our listeners a very small excerpt out of, you know, where you're coming from and how you ended up with a company such as Hyundai.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so I'm born in the Netherlands, and as many of car designers, I always as well wanted to be a car designer when I was young. And I started looking for educations where I could learn how to draw better and how to design better. And I ended up doing a bachelor in industrial design, and actually simultaneously also did a bachelor in mechanical engineering. And after that, got my first job at a transportation design agency, and did a variety of jobs as a design engineer, but also as a designer. Some very interesting topics there, all sorts of different types of mobility, trucks, buses, automated vehicles, already in 2007. So that was quite an exciting time. And then after, I was going more towards the engineering side, so I wanted to push back again for a little bit more design experience. And I went for another industrial design education in Delft. And found a group of like-minded people there, really pushing each other forwards to go with and chase our dreams of car designers. And after a short stint of being a freelancer and doing some jobs in yacht design, aviation design, I ended up at Hyundai. So now I'm there for 5 years as a design strategist. Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting, because I think, you know, this kind of, let's say, career, something that we will see a little bit more often in the future. But as mentioned, we don't necessarily want to talk too much about Hyundai in this podcast, but we really want to talk about, as you know, your general idea of the job, which is a design strategist and a brand strategist. But before we get too much into detail about this job, it's just like, how would you define a brand strategist? What does this job entail?
Yeah, I think that's of course, as a design strategist, you have a very broad definition, and I think what I always find key is that a design strategist is looking from the brand relevance towards the eventual manifestations that come out. That it's maintaining a coherent brand message. So in line with all the products and services that are coming out of the brand. I think that sums it up in a little bit. Yeah.
So obviously, we're not just talking about the products itself. So we're not just talking about the cars, but you mentioned already, you know, services and everything that's now connected with it. I mean, is this what makes this a very difficult job at the moment? Is connecting all these different dots and, you know, bringing these new ideas in and obviously connecting departments with that as well? Is that part of your, let's say, your struggles day to day to connect all these things?
Well, I think for most part of my daily job is still very much focused on the product side. And I think as with all automotive companies, the product is something that is very essential, especially in this phase. So this is still something that you start off with as thinking what should this next model in the generation, what should it be like? But I always start thinking from a brand perspective in that regard, to think about, okay, what is the role of this car in the vehicle lineup? What should it be in its segment, and how should then the values of the company convey in that model?
And how's that interaction with the marketing people, with the design people? Because of course, there's all these different kind of interests of the people. There's, you know, stakeholders that are very different. How is that interaction with all these different people?
Yeah, of course. As a design strategist, I'm positioned within design, but of course, I'm very much in contact with a marketing product department and engineers. And I think that's a key factor where I'm sitting within design, also advocating for what we think from a design vision is the right thing to do. And I mean, from a product perspective, this is something that is already happening at the moment. So I think it can only go better from there. And I think that's a very interesting field that is happening at the moment, where you start to blend in the roles that are coming a bit more fuzzier maybe, and that you really need to collaborate with the other departments to come up with the best solutions.
I mean, how do you deal with that? You know, if we take this all a little bit further and we talk about, you know, how branding, design strategy and all these kind of things come in together in terms of mobility versus a manufacturing background, but how is it kind of combining, you know, departments that come more from the digital side? So we're talking about UI, UX, with the more traditional side, coming more from the haptical side, the physical side, with then obviously the marketing side as well. I mean, you must experience surely some, I wouldn't say troubles, but challenges on the way on, you know, trying to find a good compromise between everybody, because it seems from what you say, you're a little bit in the middle of everybody.
Yeah, of course. And I think traditionally branding was more happening as an afterthought. And I think that's something that is really, really changing now, that what you get as well as major trends within branding is that everybody starts to also in personal branding start to think of what is it that they specifically are looking for, what is it that they are looking for in a brand. And this, of course, you also need to take into account when you're developing your products, that these things are happening, that also from a holistic perspective of the brand, you need to have all touch points aligned essentially to convey your message as a brand. And I think when all mindsets of the brand are aligned within all departments, then it's actually a relatively easy job to do, because when you have internalized the brand, everybody starts to already work from the brand perspective. And I think that's something that is very essential.
Do you think that's something that we can, or let's say that the transportation design industry as a whole can specifically learn from maybe the areas of industrial design and product design? So some of the things that you originally come from, in particular in terms of branding, because it seems to me that exactly what you've just mentioned from my outsider's perspective, moving into branding right now, is still something that comes after the product. But when we talk about, you know, mobility services, it's becoming a much more important fact. So do you think that looking back or looking into other industries such as the product design industries, you know, let's call it out, someone like Apple, for example, is a good example of what brand first, product next is all about? Or would you say there is a difficult or like a more, you know, a more difficult question to answer here because it's the car industry and because of the complexity that's behind?
Well, yeah, I think anyway, the world is getting more intertwined, but for sure we can learn things from other industries. I think this is the case for almost every industry. Everybody can learn something from each other. And I think since my career has not been too linear, maybe in that sense that I've also tasted some of the other industries, I sort of know what's happening in the other industries. And I think, yes, automotive industry can learn a lot there, not just from industrial design or product design, but I think also in the fields of service design and UX design. There's so many things that are happening in terms of how to design and how the process of design is in those companies that for sure the automotive industry has been always doing its processes in a particular way and kept doing that because, you know, it was good business. And with so many things changing now, I think they also need to open up and see what they can learn from the other industries for sure.
And which industry do you think is most likely to be the guiding factor for the car industry? Is it the telecommunications area? Is it more about the service area? Where do you think, well, which kind of industry do you think has the biggest impact on transportation in the next few years when it comes to branding and experience?
Yeah, well, I think when it comes to new business models, when it comes to shared ride sharing, car sharing, and these kind of new services, then for sure service design is something that you need to look into. Also then connected to that, the whole UX of the service. Of course, digitalization is a mega trend. So this is there's no denial that you can that you also need to look at the IT and the software, gaming, and these kind of industries.
I had an interesting conversation with Christian Eckert, who's his official job title is Chief Experience Officer for a company called Icon Mobile, and we were discussing a lot about experience and, you know, how it is intertwined nowadays. Do you think, from your perspective and the way you're looking into everything now, because obviously you're not just looking into Hyundai, you're looking into other companies right now, do you think the transportation design industry is ready to be brand-led, call it experience-led as well, or are we still quite far away from this idea of saying the idea of branding and experience will define the product is the way forward for us?
I think that this is something that anyway is needing to happen. It's bound to happen, especially when it comes to more premium brands or more emotional brands. When it comes to touching the irrational, I think then especially the brand is becoming more valuable. But I think also for more mainstream brands, a brand can be an added value. So that can be something that people will identify themselves with and will buy into. So I think the branding, brand and brand-driven design is such an essential part of development because it gives you on the one hand, it gives you the competitive advantage when you really start to develop your ideas from the brand. It's when these ideas are coming out, it's very hard to copy just one feature. You can copy one feature, but if you combine those features with other features and other elements of the brand and services, then it becomes such a holistic message that as a copycat, you need to copy the whole brand. And the deeper you go into it, the harder it becomes to actually copy what you want to have. So starting from the brand is giving you a very big competitive advantage. Plus, I think what most people don't realize is that it's a motivator. It's a motivator internally. It gives the people directions. It gives them ideas. It gives them fresh ideas to think a bit deeper about what can we do specifically for this brand, which is unique and which is new. And then, of course, the swivel seat will also be something that will come up with a brainstorm. But I think you can go a lot deeper then with your ideas, and I think that is very essential.
It's interesting that you say this. I mean, all these new bits coming into this brand and into the brand experience as a whole. Do you think that this also means, almost like automatically, with all these new things coming in, new definitions, and like, you know, new areas that are defining a brand, that the physical product, and that is now regardless of if it's a car or a phone or anything like that, is becoming devalued, that the service that goes along with, not necessarily devaluing it in a bad way, but let's say the haptic design, the physical design of the product is not as important anymore because the other aspects take over so much more?
I don't think that it's devaluating in that sense. I think if you look at the past, of course, the aesthetics and the object itself was the key brand differentiator. But like you said, there's so many other parts now that are being well branded and developed from the brand, like the stores or the overall service. And I think those are things that come on top of what you normally already had with the product. So those are added values to that product. But I think still the product is essentially the key thing and your key brand messenger, not just after the sale, but also continuing into the user journey when it gets discarded. So I think your product is still your key data source in that regard.
And if we take the idea a little bit further, because we have all these different kind of stakeholders just within design, because if we build an experience as a whole, and let's say we need somebody to lead that. Yeah, so we need somebody to define what is this experience. Do you think this should be somebody who comes from an experience background? Should this be somebody from a branding background? Should this be somebody coming from a physical background? Or how would you, out of your own experience from all these different kind of areas, define the probably ideal working scenario for all these different kind of design stakeholders to come in to not just build the best possible product, but also the best overall experience and also, of course, the best overall brand?
Yeah, I think it's not so necessary that there's this person comes specifically from a specific field. I think what matters most is that this is an open-minded person that is aware of what's happening in other industries and is aware what's needed for the brand and on all touch points. So capable of thinking from a brand user experience and how that would translate into the portfolio of products and services. I think that's the key aspects, of course, to look into that. I think especially the openness of the person sitting at this position is very very important, and of course it's creativity as well.
Thinking a little bit further ahead, and because we have a lot of students of course listening to the podcast as well, now you're obviously not an interior designer, but how would you describe from your own experience and from your own kind of background now how what we are just discussing right now changes the role of the designers that are, let's say, more working on the physical world? So interior designer, color and trim designers, also exterior designers, of course. I mean, there needs to be a much more or like a bigger understanding of what happens around you, it's almost impossible to just to kind of, you know, build on, you know, what you've done in the past and just build on surfaces. And, you know, if we look back into the Hyundai prophecy where you have the joysticks and stuff in there, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that comes to mind with the, where the designer has to think outside the box, has to think maybe about the gaming industry, about, you know, the phone industry and all these kind of things. Do you think that that is happening already? Do you think there is still a bit missing, that a lot of people are not necessarily looking outside enough to really bring these technologies also to life? Or is there maybe another connection or like another setup where they're being fed with these new ideas and then they're working on them?
Well, I think what's important for designers is that they get their inspiration, and it's important that design leaders also see that you need this inspiration also coming from other industries, and that you don't only get it from browsing online, but you also need to probably experience those things yourself. So I think having exchanges between different industries is pretty essential to understand, to also inspire the designers, but also maybe from the company perspective to see where are potential new businesses. So I think that is something to look into. Yeah.
From your own perspective, branding, design strategy, where are these new ideas coming from? Should they come from, you know, a specific department? Should they come from working groups? Or how would you organize something like this to build on these new ideas? And especially, of course, you mentioned the services, new business models, new business service that would then have another impact on the physical side as well.
Yeah, well, I think, of course, all these new, I think that there's anyway, in other industries, there is a very big trend, of course, that design is moving beyond the styling center, so to say. So it's moving into other departments as well. Not per se as the controlling function, but more bringing creativity and facilitating creativity in other departments. And I think that is something that I have not seen so much within automotive design, but I think this is something that is also essential and to allow people to be creative when it comes to business models, business model design, service design, and these kind of things. That there is a general atmosphere of creativity in a company and innovation in a company.
Is this, let's say, that this hasn't been really picked up upon? Is that, and we're talking general now, yeah? We're not talking about Hyundai in that kind of regards. We're talking really about general. But do you think this has to do with the leadership, that maybe the leadership is too far away from what's happening right now, that there is just a generational gap? Or do you think there's another reason to that? Because there's a lot of people, you know, talking about, okay, so how do we get these new technologies and these new ideas in? And I sometimes have a feeling it's more about a generational gap of understanding what's happening around you rather than anything else. And I mean, this is something you cannot really change, but those people need to get some help as well to learn what's happening around them.
Yeah, but I think it's also because I think actually the people in these positions, they are quite open usually to looking into what's in different industries. But I think when I look into car design, it's usually these are people that they had a dream, just like I had to work in car design, and they went straight for that goal. And sometimes they have a very linear career path in most cases, that they maybe didn't look so much into the other industries. And that's why it's so essential that you also allow your designers to get a flavor of the other industries, to keep them open-minded and to keep them learning, actually. So I think that's was that an answer?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And what would you do if I would put you now, you know, in a position where, let's say, you're an exterior manager? What would you change very briefly and very quickly to get you guys out there?
What I would change, I mean, I don't have anything, so I don't need to change anything. But no, I think what's if you look into some very innovative companies, there's always this aspect of core business that you need to take into account. This is for sure is taking the most of your time, but you need to be aware that this is something that is also consuming you in a way. You are, I think, there are some leaders call this you're feeding the beast, because you are pushing for the projects to be done, but in the meanwhile, you don't take the time for the more durable aspects. And I think some companies like Google, they have they allow you, or so they say, to also think about some emerging or new ideas. And I think this is something that you also should have in a company, or always you have to have a side project where you can be inspired, and you can go to just completely close off from the core business for a second and think about your own stuff and be free.
Which is probably what, let's say, the concept cars and show cars of the transportation design world still is, to a certain degree, which leads me to a question in terms of branding and design strategy overall. Do you think, with the current kind of decisions, of course, of Geneva Motor Show obviously being cancelled, there's a very strong indication that it won't happen in 2021. And all major other shows are, in a very similar path. Frankfurt has moved to Munich and all these things. Do you think that because of this digitalization that's happening at the moment, the brand will change? Will we see less of a futuristic outlook and, let's say, see more of companies like Apple that will own, and Chinese companies, of course, as well, that will show production-ready products that will come out in 3-6 months, in the case of Tesla, a little bit longer, of course, but... Is this also a kind of effect on the brand and on the experience that with this digitalization and everything can be done online, that we don't need to have this kind of personal touch with the product anymore? It seems to me a bit like that.
It's like you said, it seems to be a little bit like that, because I think a lot of the shows are showing this tendency that they don't get as many visitors anymore as they used to, which is of course a shame. But does that mean then that you are not making any concept cars anymore? I think then you're passing the purpose of your concept cars, obviously, to show a vision. And I think this is always still necessary. I think this is still a very, very useful tool to show a vision, one way or another. And I think of course the physical is still something that's, of course, it's also like a prototype where you can show what your vision is and how it works, and with actual people inside. So I think there's obviously still a very tangible value to a concept car, which is essential.
So if we take that idea a little bit further, of course, I mean, like, we will need, And I think there's also some fun for everybody involved in these kind of concept cars. But from your branding perspective, do you think it's actually more efficient to have these developments and maybe present them in things such as Gran Turismo, or like, in a fully virtual kind of environment rather than going to a show? Do you think that's to strengthen the brand and to have this, full exposure to a very specific amount of group is actually more fun and, let's say, better for the brand than sharing the spotlight at Geneva, for example?
Well, yeah. Well, I, of course, that depends on who your target customer is, because I think that's the thing that you need to start obviously with, is where are your target customers and why, where are they positioned? But I think if you look at the way that marketing is developing, is that traditionally you could just tell the story through a TV commercial. And I think what you're looking at now is that there's so many different platforms of social media where you need to attend to the Twitter, the Facebook, the Instagram, all the other likes. So I think, and even also on the gaming platforms, indeed. So I think these are definitely something that you need to look into thinking what can we add from our brand perspective, because I think also a lot of the younger generation is on these platforms. So I think that's definitely something to look into. Yeah,
that's very interesting. And do you think also that these new platforms, I mean, we look into Fortnite, for example, which, you know, they have concerts in Fortnite nowadays. They had, you know, video streaming in Fortnite. I'm pretty sure that at some point in the future, we will see a car presentation or a car unveil in Fortnite as well. But from a branding perspective, do you think these kind of new technologies, and obviously again for the customer group, do have an impact on how you then design the product, how you design the experience? Because it's something fundamental if you pretty much not just create your own virtual world, but you go into another virtual world and then show the product that you have. I mean, that's then extremely specialized, but it might also then mean that your product needs to be much more specialized to the audience that you would like to have.
Yeah, yes, it's like you said, of course, you need to adapt your concept, whatever this concept is, to the platform that you're showing it on. And I think you need to maximize somehow the experience that you can get from this platform. And you also need to still take into account that there is still a user sitting behind its computer somehow, you know. So maybe there is something you can do physical still. I don't know. It all depends on what you want to have as a concept and how you can maximize that. And I think also that is when you need to look into what can we do with multiple senses. You know, traditionally car design has always been about the sight, the aesthetics, and I think we have not touched too much about looking into designing other aspects of it, like other industries maybe have, like the smell and the taste and the touch and the hearing. So I think that's something for sure that you then also need to take into account. How are you going to add value for your concept in these type of platforms?
I mean, this would, we have a little bit of the senses, of course, in, let's say, color material design, where, you know, you choose the material depending on what kind of surface you want to be on, what kind of image you want to represent, yeah, what kind of, let's say, reusable materials you would like to use. So I think we have that. But I mean, taking this idea of branding a little bit further, you know, I know that there's people that work on sound design for cars, like, you know, obviously there's the iconic door sound when you close a Porsche, this kind of, you know, boop sound, like, you know, it's a very nice, you know, I can't really, you know, do it myself, but it's a very nice sound. It's very recognizable as well. Now, there's some have smell designers, like, you know, the designers for the smell of a new car and all these kind of things. This is obviously about the experience, but this is exactly in between of an experience as well as on a physical product. This would also mean, and I would like to hear your opinion about this, that the departments would come closer like we've never seen before. So there is no UX, there is no brand strategy, and then there's no physical design. Everything has to happen in one thing to then really make it succeed, so that you can really create this entire image of what the brand and the experience is all about, including the, or, you know, touching all the senses.
Well, yeah. What I see is that there should be, of course, there's a brand UX, and that represents the values of the company, and you want to convey those into a concept. But it's then up to the sound designers, up to the taste designers, up to the aestheticists to translate that into the values of the company. And I think that's still something where I think we can, I think there's still some very interesting opportunities there when it comes to maximizing the multiple senses into an overall UX, and not just having the sounds that result from the physical object.
Do you think we will see companies that are currently manufacturers that are, let's say, product-led, that will only become mobility providers, service providers, and will be fully brand-led and, let's say, build the car somewhere else? Do you think that's a reality that we will see in the future?
This is so far still in the future. So this is guessing. I know nobody really knows this, right? So I think this is something that is, yeah, this is probable that could happen. But I think as long as they manage to somehow seek their value as a company and seek the profit that they seek for, then is that really a problem? Is the question, you know?
Which company, and I know this is a difficult question, so I apologize up front for this. Which company that's currently not in the transportation space has the biggest potential to move in the transportation phase from its branding? We're not talking about manufacturing because, you know, you could technically do that with somebody else. But who do you think has the biggest potential to move into this space and become a disruptor from a branding perspective?
Well, for sure SpaceX, that would be awesome, of course, but I think when it comes to brands like Apple, where you really have this still this sense that you could essentially buy everything from them because you know you will get a good user interface, but I think potentially from a vision, Amazon could also be, maybe that's not the strongest brand identity somehow, but they have a solid understanding of what they want to achieve as a company, and everybody's chasing that. So I think also that is a company that could really go into this mobility area.
What about luxury brands? Do you think, you know, let's call it Louis Vuitton, let's, you know, I don't know, Hermes or something like that. Do you think they would have a case? I mean, you know, their branding and their quality approach is of course on a very, very high level. Do you think they could actually move in the transportation phase, or would we see more like a collaboration as we have seen with the Hermes editions for Bugattis and stuff like that? Yeah. So would you see more that kind of direction, or do you believe that these kind of high end luxury brands could have a case to really move into transportation?
Well, I think then you're looking from now when you have like these special editions into towards the future when you have fully autonomous pods driving around. And I think when you're talking about these pods, then virtually everything is possible. And the ones that are having the strongest brand, for sure, they can achieve something. But I think in this area of full autonomy, it's such a complex system that you need to collaborate with other brands to create business models. I think that's anyway where you see also other industries moving towards is these collaboration and network systems between different brands. That 1 + 1 is 3 in a sense, and I think that is something that the automotive industry and luxury brands in particular, yeah, they could look into.
I mean, we, like I said, we see that with, you know, Bugatti in particular, like, you know, Rolls Royce does that a little bit as well. But we've now seen, you know, some other brands collaborating with each other. Like the best example recently was Nvidia and Daimler for some technology and stuff like that. But when do you think it's going to be like, you know, companies, you mentioned Amazon already, but something like Netflix, for example, going into the car, especially when we go toward this autonomous future? Apple would be part of this as well. I mean, it seems like they're building this ecosystem to go into a car without a car is definitely up for grabs. Do you see this can happen very soon, so that the car manufacturers will actually say, well, maybe we don't need to put our own content in there. We can just partner up with somebody who can do it better than we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you see already happening with connecting your phone with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto is that there are, of course, you have the screens in your car, but the content on it is essentially free to everybody, especially on the back seats, right? So why not have Netflix there as a partner, or that you at least can also access your Netflix? I wouldn't be surprised if that's already happening, actually.
Last but not least, at least from my perspective, before we get to the infamous three questions towards the end, when will we see pods autonomously driving around? How long do you think that's going to take, and who's going to be the first brand to push for that?
I think pods. This is a funny question because I've been working on these autonomous pods already for a while, so. And I think sometimes automotive industries thinks they're reinventing the wheel completely. But I think, these pods have been driving around already. So I can say the 2000s, I think. They're driving around on Heathrow. They're in the Netherlands, there's a couple of these pods driving around. There's a city in Abu Dhabi, Masdar City, I think. That's where also already some pods are driving around. But when you're talking... Of course, these are all level. They're level. They look like level 5, but they are level 4 because the environment is adapted to that. So that they're not free roaming, so to say. So if you're really talking free roaming, level 5 autonomy, you would need to ask an expert on that because I'm definitely not an expert in when this technology will be ready. So, but I think it anyway. It requires. A lot of thinking before you can actually put it on the road. That's an interesting question.
Cool. All right. Then, first of all, thank you very much for the time. I really do appreciate it. You gave us some really lovely insights as well, and showed how everything is connected, even though sometimes we think it's maybe not connected. But yeah, let's go to the three questions towards the end. Question number one for you: which project you have not been part of, you would have absolutely loved to be part of for your career?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question. I've been listening to your podcast, and I hear a lot of people talking about projects that are in their lifetime. But I think it's also allowed to name a project outside my lifetime, right? Course. If I didn't work in it anyway. So let me open the box a little bit then. I would love to do just one project with Leonardo da Vinci, if that's possible. And otherwise, if that's not possible, then I would love to do the Wright brothers, making the first airplane. That must have been very exciting. But if it's about something that maybe in my lifetime, I recently read the Creativity Incorporated book from Pixar. And I would also love to have done this first Toy Story movie, that must have been very exciting.
Great. These are all very new, though. So thank you for those, especially Da Vinci and the Wright brothers. Of course, pretty cool. Second question: which designer that you have or have not worked with, can be somebody also from the past, has had the biggest influence on you and your career?
Yeah, the one that I think I have worked with, I was a bit, you always come to a point in your career where you think, am I still going for this? Am I good enough? You always start doubting yourself. Somehow this is very human to do. But I think I was working still in the Netherlands then. And there was a chief designer there at the company that I worked for. Hans Beermer was his name. And I really learned a lot from him, and he really pushed me to really go for it, and that really helped me to go over the edge and just full throttle go on it. So that really helped me out. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And now the last question, $1 million question. not quite, because you get a blank check. So if I would give you a blank check, which car would you buy?
Yeah, that would be for me Ferrari F40. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people might not look at me as a typical car guy because I'm very into mobility in general. But still, a Ferrari F40 was my child's dream, and this is just such a raw car with designed for purpose, and it just tells a lovely story by looking at it. So I think that's a very
good traditional car. Ferrari red, or would you go for one of the other colors?
I have a scale model in yellow, but I think I would still go for red. Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Lovely. So, Jelle, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for taking the time. It's been a lovely recording with you. And so to all of our listeners, once again, thanks for listening to us here on the Gestalten podcast. My name is Martin Groschwald, and please do not forget to, wherever you listen to us, if it's on iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating. If it's on, you know, any of other channels, you know, leave us something positive if you can. And Jelle, once again, thank you very much for joining us. And to all the listeners, you will hear back from us very soon with the next episode of the Gestalten podcast. Thank you and goodbye.